Macy's is gone. So's The Gap, Radio Shack, The Limited, MC Sports, and soon Penny's will join the exodus from Eastland Mall in Bloomington. But Eastland is hardly unique. Across the country, malls are dying bit by bit, store by store. Or if they're not dying, at least they're not feeling very well. Nearly a quarter of the malls in the U.S. are at high risk of losing an anchor store. As consumers go elsewhere, like online, to shop, stores close and jobs and revenue vanish. It was just a few decades ago that the mall ruled as a place to shop, to eat, to see a movie. Sherry Zeck, interim dean of Illinois State University's Milner Library and GLT's culture maven, says for 50 years, malls have been a mecca for consumer culture and more.
It was a place to drop off your kids for the day. In their heyday, they were considered safe places for kids to roam, so folks would drop off their kids and go do whatever they do. It was also a place for families to do things together. The malls were really, I think, in many ways owned by the teens, particularly teens who couldn't drive yet. Uh-huh. So they didn't have true mobility, but they, perhaps a little bit later than my generation, they had a little money in their pockets. And they could meet, they could roam, they could eat, they could buy stuff, they could play in arcades, they could go to the movies. Let's not forget that during the heyday of mall culture, that was also the primary place to go to a movie. So it was a whole entertainment package, and it really was shopping as entertainment.
Well, as a Gen X latchkey kid myself, mm-hmm. I spent many a Saturday dropped off at the mall mm-hmm. and left on my own. Do you think maybe the fact that the Gen X is getting older and, you know, our generation doesn't feel like we could drop our kids at the mall, that might be contributing to the change of what the mall means to us?
Well, that's a good thought. I do think that we live in an era where folks are more cautious about anonymous crowds. And where people are certainly more cautious about leaving their children unsupervised. I don't know so much about teenagers, but we're in a more fearful culture. Though I think fundamentally the shift away from mall culture is about other cultural dynamics. Certainly in the last 10 years, it's the availability of product online. But there's also, there's been something else going on. And from the 70s, when it was all about the convenience of a particular location, an interior location. You know, we talk about teenagers, but there's also a lot of old folks who go to the mall to walk, to get exercise. But to have a place where they were comfortable in terms of climate and relative ease of access and all of those kinds of things. To now, when people go out for a shopping day, they want a little bit better food. They like outside spots. So you go to newer strip malls, what I would still call strip malls, but they're not really strip malls, shopping areas in the suburbs. And there will be coffee shops that have some outdoor seating. There's convenient parking, but there's sort of an attempt to make it feel like a neighborhood, like you're entering a little neighborhood that you walk around in, but not too far. Parking's got to be convenient.
Mm-hmm.
That have, yes, some anchor stores, but also some specialty stores. So I think it's a difference in how people want to shop specifically. Also, there are other options, many more options for where young people, not adult shoppers, but for where young people can and do go for their entertainment. Certainly.
And that's right in the palm of their hand on their phone.
Well, they can sit on their couch, yes, and not go anywhere for entertainment and chat with their friends and Snapchat and whatever else.
We don't have to be physically together to be together now.
That's exactly right. I mean, well, for me, certainly, when the first mall appeared in my life in, I don't know, probably when I was 13 or so, perhaps a little bit younger, which was a long, long time ago, it was certainly an event to go to the mall. And it was absolutely about hanging out with friends and feeling freedom, not freedom. It was an expansion of our universe, but in a very controlled way.
When malls became popular, people would say, oh, well, this is the new town square. Was it really the town square for us?
No. It wasn't a new community. It was a new amusement park of some sort. That's different.
The Mall of America, literally.
Literally the Mall of America. And it was a it was all about consumerism. It's always dangerous to invoke a movie that is beloved by many people but not so much by yourself. But I'm going to mention the Blues Brothers. And in my view, the greatest scene in the Blues Brothers is when they crash through the mall.
It's pants and burgers.
Yeah. Lots of space in this mall. Baby clothes.
This place has got everything.
And so the mall was pretty soon after its inception, as much as it was a place for people to go and shop and in some sense gather, it was also reviled as the height of trashy American consumerism.
People look down their nose at the mall.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So some of the sort of new shopping experiences that aren't online are about being classier in some way and really trying to create this feeling of neighborhood and one area being distinct from another in terms of its walking paths and the kinds of flowers that are planted and the style of the buildings and that sort of thing.
Well, speaking of people who are looking down on the mall, maybe George Romero felt that way in Dawn of the Dead, which, you know, he had zombies taking over a mall. And I think it's interesting because the zombies apparently were congregating at the mall because that's what they were used to doing.
Most of the gates are down. I don't think they can get into the stores.
I haven't seen any of them up on the second floor.
The big department stores usually use both floors.
If we can get in up top.
What are they doing? Why did they come here?
Some kind of instinct, memory, what they used to do. This was an important place in their lives.
But was Romero making a comment on malls in our society in that film?
Oh, absolutely. But like I say, malls are, from their inception, really, they were equally delighted in for their various conveniences and the pleasures of consumerism. And that's where we'd go see movies. I mean, I can't minimize that enough. That was a huge part of the draw to malls and of shifting viewing patterns of people interested in cinema in this culture. But at the same time, they were so blatantly pans to consumerism and really the trashiest parts of American culture, the most blatantly greedy and money-oriented and thing-oriented and acquisition-oriented sort of structures that we inhabited, that filmmakers and comedians and others attack them in many different forms.
What are we losing when we start to lose traditional malls and they start shutting down in communities?
I don't think you can separate this from the loss in general of the brick-and-mortar store, right? So I think what we're losing in malls specifically is, more importantly, about what we're losing in terms of local income, local jobs, and taxes and all of those kinds of things. I think that's the real problem with losing the mall, and also because those very large businesses that have been standards of not just consumerism, but the access to products for decades and decades and decades, such as Sears and others, in losing that storefront income, they're also going under. Now, with that, in terms of malls specifically, let's go back. Let's forget teenagers for a moment. Let's go back to old people. So you are an older person and you need to get some exercise, but it's particularly dangerous for you to be out in the cold, the wet, icy streets. Where do you go for that exercise? If you can't afford a health club, where do you go for that exercise? Where do you go to be able to walk around with your friends and have a comfortable place to sit and some place to eat and yet also get the mobility that every study on the planet shows us that we need, even and especially as we get older, for both our physical and mental health? So I worry about the destruction of these large interior spaces, whether they are commercial and consumerist or not. The destruction of those kinds of spaces, I think, actually will have health effects that we haven't really anticipated, particularly for those people who are not sufficiently affluent to join health clubs and who don't have access to senior centers that have robust facilities and that sort of thing.
With so many malls dying off, there's almost a sort of a genre or a subgenre of photography that seems to be coming to the fore, dead malls. People going, mm-hmm. photographers going into malls and photographing what was once a thriving, vibrant part of the community. and then you just see these empty spaces. And I'm almost like, it's like dead mall porn, looking at these photographs, and you can imagine how they once were, and you see what they've become, and it's like looking at the remnants of an ancient civilization gone to ruin.
Yes, well, it used to be photographs of small town America, and before that it was the West, and before that it was
dead downtowns,
Greece or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. But what is so interesting in that in particular is how quickly this has happened. I mean, it feels like the move toward destruction and decay and things being remnants of the past is happening in a much more accelerated fashion, right? We're not talking about photographs of outposts in the Old West that were constructed in the early 1800s that then were abandoned by the 1880s or something. We're talking about within a span of 40 or 50 years, something that's gone from non-existence to abandonment and decay. That's really pretty astounding.
Is it a little disturbing to you?
It's very disturbing to me, yeah.
What does it say about us?
Well, for one thing, I think it says something about the quality of construction, right?
Yes.
Seriously, I think it's something about the quality of construction that has changed. There is something about that, but I think it's more about the quickness with which our culture abandons things. And sadly, I think that is also reflected in the way we abandon each other. So there's such an incredible instability about what we hold on to and what we value. Some would say this makes the future exciting. I think it makes it kind of scary. It feels grotesque to be sit here mourning the loss of this incredible homage to retail, to the gluttony of American consumerism. That seems just a little bit ridiculous, but it seems to me as a culture, we have this incredible desire to not get out of our chair, right? So on the one hand, there's been this move toward more and more sedentary life, right? The remote control. I mean, God forbid you would get up and cross the room
to change the channel.
Oh. But now, God forbid you would get up and cross the room every 2 hours to change the movie. I can tell you myself, I have a two-floor house and I have 2,500 CDs. But if I'm hankering to listen to one song, I'm just as likely to buy it for 99 cents. I know, I haven't entered the Spotify world.
Instead of going upstairs,
finding the CD, bringing it down, putting it – that's crazy. But I'm pretty sure I'm not alone in that sort of thing. On the other hand, everything else in our culture is about mobility. We want to be able to take our whole computing life with us and hold it in the palm of our hand. Certainly nothing is diminished about car culture. One of the hottest topics, as it should be, in communities is about how to get people from one place to another. When we talk about getting social services to people who need them, often the biggest chunk of it is not getting a dentist to volunteer his or her time. It's how do you get the people from the poorer part of town to the dentist? How do you get them away from their jobs to go to the dentist? That sort of thing. So we live in a town that has hundreds of parking spaces, and yet the number one complaint you hear about our town is there's no parking. Well, there's plenty of it. It's just not 10 feet in front of the store.
Right.
It's a block away. A block away. So this tension we have in which we really want things to be close and immediate, and yet we want total mobility. And to me, it sort of seems like the mall answers that tension, and yet we want it gone, or we have moved away from that.
That's Sherry Zeck, Interim Dean of Illinois State University's Milner Library and GLT's Culture Maven. I'm Laura Kennedy.